This podcast is brought to you by the School of Security Studies at King's College London. Welcome to the War Studies Podcast. I'm Vanessa Gipson. This week, we're celebrating the 30th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall. We're joined by Dr. Barbara Zanchetta, a Cold War historian based here in the War Studies Department. Before we get into the interview, I wanted to flag an eventful week coming up here at King's College. Africa Week starts next Monday, November 11th, and will be full of interesting events that highlight King's research, education, and engagement with African countries. Events include a musical performance, a conference, lectures, a film screening, and more. Follow at War Studies on Twitter or check the show notes for a link to all Africa Week events. And now for my interview with Barbara Zanchetta about the significance of the 30th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall. Barbara, thank you so much for joining me. I understand you recently co-edited a book on the Cold War. What topics does the book cover?
Okay, so this book is called, it's called The New Perspectives on the End of the Cold War, and what we did is based on a conference that we held in Geneva a few years ago. And a lot of the historiography on the Cold War has been about the Cold War moving outside of Europe and into the Third World, into the periphery. And what we do with this volume is instead remind everyone that actually the Cold War started in Europe and ended in Europe. So it has an overwhelmingly European focus. And since we'll be talking about the fall of the Berlin Wall, I think it's particularly relevant to, again, to remind everyone that it was a lot about Europe, even if in the course of those 4 decades, a lot of the fighting did not take place in Europe. And, you know, the Third World and the global Cold War did play, obviously, overwhelming part in it, but started and ended in Europe, and that's what really the book is about. And also gives emphasis to some of the less studied actors, so it's not just about the superpowers, it's not just about Reagan and Gorbachev, but it's about some of their advisors and the role they played. So it's about personalities and the processes, and so some of the less studied aspect.
So as we know, the 9th of November is the 30th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall. Why is this anniversary important to recognize?
So I think it's an absolutely very important anniversary, not just because of, as a Cold War historian, it is at the crux of what we study, right? So it's obviously very important for me. But if you think about, the Germans living divided for a few decades, right? And the division of Berlin, the division of Germany, symbolized the division of all of the continent. And so when that wall came crumbling, it really defined the end of an era that had shaped generations, and I would argue shaped the mentalities of many countries in Europe and in the United States in particular, but also on the other side, so the former adversaries of the Warsaw Pact and Russia. So it was really a defining moment. It sounds like a cliche, but it really was for the people of Berlin, for the people of Germany. But I think because of the symbolic aspect that the wall had become throughout the Cold War from 1961 when it was built to 1989, it was the symbol of all that had happened during the Cold War. And when that symbol collapsed, the world really changed.
How much have things changed since the wall fell?
I think there's two levels to answer this question. I mean, obviously, on the local level in Berlin, in Germany, things have drastically changed. I mean, if you visit Berlin now, you can't see, there's traces of the wall, there's traces of these differences. But the country is unified, and it's, at the center of Europe. So it has crucially changed in terms of it not being the division of the of that country and the division of the continent. Now you can't, you know, Europe is united. All of Europe, including some of the Eastern countries, you know, despite the debates on, you know, it's particularly around Brexit and all that, but Europe is hard to imagine today conflicts breaking out between European countries, right? So on that level, the change has been crucial. It has become an area of peace, an area of sort of democratic peace, Europe. On another level, however, you could say that the division between East and West is somewhat still there, just that frontier has moved eastwards. But some of the mentality and some of that Cold War mentality and some of this idea that there is at some point a frontier between the Western world and the Eastern world, and today is not as defined as it used to be when we had that wall, when we had that Iron Curtain, but we still have this perception that there is a division. So in that sense, that mentality has unfortunately somewhat endured. So I would say things have changed a lot on one level, but some of the legacies have stayed.
Are there any aspects of this event that you think people may have misunderstood or misinterpreted?
I think there is this misperception at the time, but I think it has also endured, that the superpowers, so the United States and the Soviet Union, they were of course the masterminds behind the evolution on a global scale, but there was this perception that they oversaw everything and they sort of were able to control events on the ground. This idea that, you know, President Reagan gave that iconic speech in 1987, Mr. Gorbachev, tear that wall down, and that somehow that directly led to the fall of the wall. And that, you know, having studied, again, you know, like that book I mentioned at the beginning, having studied some of the less well-known actors, you can see that actually the process that led to the fall of the wall, it wasn't orchestrated at the top. It was more, it was the local actors in Berlin that led to this landmark moment. I mean, if you think that it started quite accidentally, you know, with people trying to tear pieces down, and with the local authorities of East Berlin not knowing how to respond, and it was almost accidental. This tells you that the process of change was longer term, and it was a historical evolution. It wasn't just something that was controlled by the two big actors, but it was very much a German process of not wanting to live with this division for who knows how long. So it's I think that the misperception is that it was all about the U.S. and the Soviet Union, whereas it was more about people living in Berlin and people living in Germany, and also, you know, people living in Western Europe and Eastern Europe not accepting that the division would be permanent. And so it was very much about people and ordinary people also. And I think that that is often overseen when we look at it in terms of just the big actors or the big diplomatic encounters at the top.
What is this anniversary's relevance now? How does it help us understand our society today?
I think there has been a lot of unfortunate contemporary talk about building walls to stop people from moving around or people from moving in, and if you think about the Berlin Wall, and the purpose of the Berlin Wall was to stop people from moving from East Berlin out, and so I think the relevance is again not only symbolic but very 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 tangible. If you have people like Chancellor Merkel, for example, who lived on the eastern side of the Berlin Wall, saying you should never talk about building walls again, you think you can understand what the contemporary relevance is. On a broader plane, I think basically building walls to stop the flow of people is not really a recipe for the future, and I think this is really one of the lessons of you know, of the world coming down. And this connects to what I was saying earlier, that obviously it was about a process, a broad process of historical change, but it was also a process of local, ordinary people living on the ground and not accepting this division as permanent. And it, you could juxtapose this to any other context, I think, that we live in today. And so all of those, I would remind people that think that this is sort of a solution, that it could never be a long-term solution, and that the drama of dividing people is not really a way to solve deeper diplomatic security issues.
Why do you think that solutions like that are still on the table today?
In some ways, it's an easy solution, right? If you think, again, going back to the historical process of, so why was the wall built? In the end, it was a way to diffuse an ongoing crisis that the East German regime was experiencing. So this flow of people, and they were emigrating to the West, which was threatening the legitimacy of East Germany. And this local issue for East Germany sparked a huge crisis between the superpowers on how to deal with the crux of the Cold War sort of issue at the heart of Europe. And when with the superpowers incapable of finding a solution, because escalating into war or escalating into nuclear war, even worse, wasn't a solution. Then again, on the ground, the idea was, okay, let's just build a barrier. So I think coming up with a quick fix of saying, okay, I put a Band-Aid on a problem and I don't worry about it in the long term, has obviously some kind of an attraction, right? In terms of thinking in the short term without looking more into longer term solutions, which again, for issues of this kind, are very difficult to find. We still live in a world, despite all the talk about, you know, international organizations, international institutions, but we still live in a world in which when it comes to national security, it is still very much state focused. And so solutions like this are in the domain of states, that they can still use them, right? Now the question is, that they don't really address the root causes, right? They just try to tamper the problem.
Did you want to add anything else?
Just to underscore that it's, mm-hmm. 30 years is an important moment to reflect in terms of what has changed and what hasn't changed. And just to underline, like what I said before, in terms of this difficult relationship that we have with Russia is very much related to how the Cold War ended and the failed sort of hope to create a new partnership with what Gorbachev thought was going to be a new Soviet Union, and that what successive Russian leaders thought could be a new Russia. There was this moment of hope when the wall fell in the early 90s, when a different kind of relationship might have been possible, but issues with how the Cold War ended, issues with expanding sort of the transatlantic space eastward, and so NATO expanding eastward and so on, led to more and more of a tense relationship. And so I think the legacy of all this is really unresolved issues on how the Cold War ended that we still live today. When the crisis in the Ukraine erupted and all that, and the difficulties that we have in a partnership with Russia. So I think it all links somewhat to how the Cold War ended, and of course the Cold War ended very much when the wall started to crumble.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the War Studies podcast. For more information about the School of Security Studies, visit kcl.ac.uk/security studies.